And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's good, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete and Nick back with you talking fantasy and futures, heading into the weekend. A lot of big storylines going on around the league, Nick. A lot of scoring going on. I mean, Tuesday night, right, I saw goal totals like 6, 7, 8, and even 9. This is crazy stuff, right?
A lot of offense, Pete. Great to be with you on this Thursday. A lot of offense. An interesting contract handed out by the Philadelphia Flyers. We can't bury the lead. PD, happy Jack Eichel Day, my friend.
Jack Eichel versus Alex Tuch. I'm excited about that storyline. Remember, Tuch had the big day when they played at Vegas, but Eichel wasn't quite back just yet. So, yeah, general reaction so far to Eichel. He's been okay. I mean, I think that overall, this isn't the full deck of cards that they're playing with. So I think he'll get better and better over the course of the season. And one guy that we're bringing on to talk about it today, new guest to the show, Tom Vecchio from FanDuel, does a great job covering the NHL and also the NBA for FanDuel. What's going on, Tom?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, we have an exciting slate of games tonight. It's headlined by Eichel returning to Buffalo, but we also have Calgary playing Tampa. We have Colorado playing Carolina, some of the best offenses in the league going head to head. So another night, as we saw on Tuesday, where we're probably going to be seeing a lot of goals.
And we maybe will see a little revenge from Blake Coleman in that game against his former team. Remains to be seen, but definitely excited for the big slate. Tom, for looking ahead, you know, the Arizona Coyotes, I think, have been the story of the past couple of days with the goals they're putting up. You know, 17 goals in their past two games, 11 points in his past two games for Nick Schmaltz, who we were hyping up on the previous show, and he's just kept it going. Do you see some spoiler value from the Arizona Coyotes leading up to the trade deadline, or you think this is going to get broken up a little bit with a couple of moves in the desert?
I think they certainly have some value, you know, Clayton Keller, Phil Kessel, guys that can still put up offense. I kind of like them in this spot tonight going up against the Maple Leafs. Like, the Maple Leafs aren't playing a whole lot of defense right now, and if we're going to be seeing them getting into back and forth games against the Kraken, you know, an offense that certainly isn't great. You know, we go back a week and a half, 2 weeks against Detroit, the game that ends 10-7. If there's not going to be defense on the side of the Maple Leafs, I am going to be interested in basically whoever they're playing. So Arizona is hot right now going up against the defense that's also not looking good. I like this matchup for a lot of goals back and forth. Obviously, Austin Matthews is going to be leading the way as he always does for the Maple Leafs, but Schmaltz, if Kessel's back with the team after the birth of his child, they can keep it going. And Gostisbehere has been, you know, solid on the blue line for them as well.
Yeah, I think there's some prop opportunities clearly, guys, in that game. And Tom, thanks so much for being with us here today. I think Austin Matthews, he's scoring every game. And don't discount Nick Ritchie. He'll get the video tribute, hopefully, here in Toronto. He's got 5 points in five games. And he's been, funny enough, ripping it up for Arizona. So I would certainly look there. From a DFS point of view, generally speaking, do you have a strategy on a daily basis that you like to employ, Tom?
Yeah, it starts with, you know, stacks. That's the main thing. I only play tournaments, so I'm willing to embrace the risk. Always shooting for the most upside. So it'd be stacking teams, you know, similar to MLB. You want to, you know, double dip. You want to get that correlation of players that are on forward lines together and on the power play together. So starting off with stacks, and then if you could turn those into game stacks where, you know, we're seeing 7, 8 total goals, that's where we, you know, get back and forth nature. It can become tough if we're looking at a game like Carolina and Colorado tonight. You want to pay up for both of the top lines, but you simply can't afford it just due to the salary restraints. So you have to, you know, drop down and take, you know, some of the value on one team. You go to an Alex Newhook, you go to a Logan O'Connor or a Stahl on the Carolina side. We have to mix and match, you know, value from one team and then paying up for the other. You know, I kind of like Arizona tonight because there's no one super, super expensive outside of Clayton Keller. So you can find some options in the mid tier that, in terms of salary, they actually have good offensive roles and then still pay up for Marner and Matthews and Riley and Tavares and Nylander, and you'll probably be in a pretty good spot.
I think there's a lot of value on some of the non-contenders on the slate tonight and in general right now. I mean, right, Tim Stützle's been heating up with 6 points in his past three games for Ottawa. They've had sneaky appeal whenever they've been healthy. Now they got Norris back. Chicago the other day, the offense really ignited, right? Tom Patrick Kane, 6 points. DeBrincat and Dylan Strome, 4 points apiece. Brandon Hagel, 2 points. multi-points across the board for their fantasy relevant players. And then even like those Arizona guys you mentioned, we did our top 200 rankings this week. You might be surprised to see four players from the Coyotes in the top 200. That's higher than they've had all season, with the two defensemen, Chychrun and Ghost, and then also Keller and Schmaltz heating up in the forward group. So which of those non-contending teams do you like the best to actually like keep this thing going?
I would say the Senators. You know, they're a team that they've actually slightly improved on defense. You know, I look a lot at, you know, look at Corsi for and against. I look at, you know, goals. I generally account for things per 60 minutes in 5v5 situations. That's, you know, the standard right. that I look to. Also look to their expected goals and high danger chances. So the Senators like have those pieces on offense and they're getting a little bit healthier. Ultimately, we do see some trades from Arizona, you know, some of their players being traded away. I think that will, you know, negatively impact them overall. So I'd be leaning towards, you know, keeping Tkachuk, their, you know, Norris, with Bailerson, if he comes back, or, you know, whether or not I still like them in a spot overall, because their defense is still weak, but they have the offense to kind of keep up with some teams. So they're losing some of these games like 5-3, which actually makes them a bit more interesting when, you know, if Arizona drops off and they start losing games like 5-1, no one's going to be too surprised, especially if trades do go down.
I think there's multiple ways, guys, that you can extract value in DFS. And again, not burying the lead. It is Jack Eichel day. I'm excited for this game as Jack Eichel makes his return to Buffalo. I think obviously three players I'm looking at from a shot prop point of view, a point point of view, maybe a flyer when it comes to a goal prop too. Jack Eichel, Alex Tuch has been quiet as of late. And then why not right now to heat up again here against Vegas? And Peyton Krebs is another guy. I'm looking forward to this one tonight, Tom.
Yeah, I'm big on shot props. I'm big on anytime goals or just points overall. I'll continuously look to players that, you know, maintain a strong offensive role. You know, I'm not just taking a shot prop on some random player. I want them generally to be in the top six and see power play time. And if we see a player that's consistently putting up 3, 4, sometimes 5 shots per game, and he's gone 5, 6 games without a goal, you know, that's a player I'm going to go to for an anytime goal at that point. Yeah, I was big on Mikko Rantanen against the Devils the other night. He got it done. He's obviously one of the best players in the league, and he's taking 4 or 5 shots a night, and he's gotten 8 games without a goal. Like, he's simply due. Like, I hate using that term, like, oh, he's due for a hit, he's due for a home run, he's due for a goal. But, like, that's what it comes down to for a lot of players. Like, I think Tarasenko is due for a goal. Like, he hasn't had a goal in 7 games, 6 games. He's still obviously playing a top 6 role. So I'm big on shot props, like finding that good correlation, as you mentioned.
And you mentioned the Devils. I mean, that's another team I meant to mention earlier that's been scoring goals 5 unanswered to beat the Avalanche, who are on a second of a back-to-back. But still, the Devils are playing really well right now. Their goaltender, Nico Daws, has a really high 5-on-5 save percentage. Has only played 10 games this year, but he's a rookie goalie that's making an impact here, and they're scoring a lot of goals in front of him. So are you making anything of this kid, especially as the Devils, they've been healthy now for a week and a half or so, and they look dynamite offensively in front of him?
Yeah, I actually really, really like this Winnipeg Devils game tonight. You know, the Jets, they got their offense going. I also look to expected goals scored, or, you know, expected goals, what they should be producing. So the Jets are, you know, kind of a team that have like all the pieces on offense. They just never get it going together, like all at the same time. So their offense is actually underproducing by like 0.4 of a goal right now, you know, per 60 minutes in 5v5 situations. So it's not like the Devils are strong on defense, but they've like really, really turned up their offense. And I think it makes like these back and forth game environments where, if the Devils win or lose tonight 5-4 or 4-3, like, I don't think anyone's going to be surprised. So they have that offense clicking. Hughes is looking significantly better this year than he did the year before. They recently got Dougie Hamilton back. Like, they have all the pieces to get it done, and especially on offense. And that defense is still struggling. You know, Kyle Connor going for 2 goals tonight is not going to be a surprise. So I love that game specifically. I think it's slightly off the board when you're looking at the slate overall, and we see Carolina and Colorado, you see Tampa and Calgary, we see all these awesome offenses. Why is this game going overlooked when both the teams are hopefully rounding into form?
Yeah, you're right. I think, you know, again, it is a busy slate. What are some other things you're looking at tonight in terms of props or a betting point of view?
So tonight's slate overall, I'd certainly be looking to the Toronto and Arizona over. That's just like a trend that we're going to be seeing time and time again. Until something changes, that's what I'll be going to. I also look to one of my favorite bets overall is teams, but looking at their 60-minute line, the AKA the three-way money line where they have to win in regulation, you always get better odds on that. So, you know, going to a team like the Kings tonight, I think they're like minus 220 at home, but they would only be minus 120 or 110 on the 60-minute line. So you're getting that value there. Easy matchup going up against the Sharks. So I would certainly look there. Taking unders is obviously a tough spot for a lot of teams. If I'm taking unders, it's obviously going to be siding with two teams that are strong on defense while also not producing on offense, kind of like we saw with Dallas and Nashville the other night, where it's two teams that are good on offense when it's the right matchup. You know, two teams that don't necessarily drive the offense a ton of the time, and they do have pretty solid defense and goaltending. So I lean towards some unders when we see those types of teams playing. We should see the Panthers win tonight, so I'd probably not obviously look to them on the money line. It'd be the puck line. So them to win by one, one and a half, to win by two against the Flyers, which I think they should be able to get done.
I think the under makes sense in that Kings Sharks game because the Kings are without Victor Arvidsson week to week, and the Sharks could be a little bit better if they get Erik Karlsson back. Sounds like that's in the cards for Thursday. So big boost to them. They've been absolutely brutal without Erik Karlsson this year, and he's one of the top defensemen point per game producers in the league. I believe he's tied for 12th at the position. So big lift for San Jose at a key time. Before the deadline. I mean, let's bring out the crystal ball here, Tom, and look at the Hart Trophy race. Auston Matthews and Igor Shesterkin, we talked about it on a previous show. They've entered the conversation. They've entered the chat. There are still, obviously, Ovechkin in the mix, Huberto, McDavid, Johnny Gaudreau, I think, should be mentioned in that list as well. Which way are you leaning if you're going to project for the rest of the season?
Well, as a Rangers fan, it's tough for me not to say Shesterkin, but what Matthews is doing, you know, simply from an offensive standpoint is, you know, unmatched. And you see all these stats all the time where over his last 50 games, he's doing this. Over his last 100 games, he's doing this. He's on pace for, you know, 61 or 62 goals or whatever it is. So I think it's tough not to give it to Matthews when he's literally breaking records. But on the same side, like Shesterkin keeps the Rangers in games, you know. The fact that we see a goalie win it once every 8 years, once every 10 years, I think is obviously putting him, I don't say that as a disadvantage where it's just not normal for him to, or not just, you know, Shesterkin, but just a goalie to win overall. It's like, a QB not winning the MVP in the NFL, which is probably going to a QB. It's probably going to be going to the highest goal scorer, the highest point scorer. So I would lean towards Matthews as long as he can keep up this pace. Like Shesterkin would have to post multiple shutouts and be the reason the Rangers are winning in order for him to actually win it.
You know what? I might use some of Bob Bender's money and put a billboard out here in Toronto with Igor Shesterkin's face on it. Because if you were in this market, you wouldn't even know who Igor Shesterkin is. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I'm taking nothing away from Auston Matthews, but I think we are seeing greatness this season by Shesterkin. And I do think he's in the company of Carey Price in 2015, Jose Theodore in 2002. You take him off that Rangers roster, that Rangers team, I think they're fighting for a playoff spot. I'm just going to say it, and I'm taking nothing away from Auston Matthews. Last one for me here, Tom, futures, the Stanley Cup playoffs. I should preface by saying my Stanley Cup final that I predicted, before the season was Colorado and Carolina, who play tonight at PNC Arena. Who do you like in the Stanley Cup final? Who do you like playing, or who do you like winning the Stanley Cup?
So I've been on the Avs for a couple seasons now as Stanley Cup favorites. I would certainly side with them. I would say Colorado coming out of the West, and I'm actually leaning a little bit towards Florida in the East. Before the season, I was big on Florida. I have them on a future to win their division. I have Barkov over total season points, sitting at 86 or 89 and a half, whatever it was. You know, his injury a little bit earlier in the season kind of put that in a tough spot, but Colorado has all the pieces. They kind of have to get it done. They've been knocking on the door for a couple seasons now. So I like them. If Florida can keep it up and we see Bobrovsky play at the high level that we know he can play at, that's what I think is going to be the determining factor. They have to stay healthy on defense. Obviously losing Ekblad last year, you know, kind of put them a step behind things. But if they can make a trade at the deadline to get one extra defender, I think that will really push them over the top. They can compete with Tampa now. Yeah, I think they can beat, you know, Toronto, if they're playing them in a series, Boston, who's, I'm going to say, taking half a step back this year. They still look strong, but little bit further behind than they were last year. So I'm going to go with Florida. I'm going to go with Colorado, two teams I've been on for this season and a couple seasons at this point.
I like where your head's at with Colorado. They're bound to break through. It's one thing after the other every year. One year they lose both of their goalies to injury. Next year, Kadri goes down. The other year, there was the controversial call, right? So it's like one thing after another. If they get to the playoffs healthy with Kadri, I think this will be the tipping point for them. And then I wanted to mention, you mentioned Florida. So Spencer Knight came back. Obviously he's out of the Calder Trophy race, but I think it's an opportunity for him to finish strong, especially with the goal support he's going to get. And I think he is going to be key for Florida, because with Bob, right, they're eventually going to have to turn to him at some crucial moment, either late in the regular season for a long stretch or in the playoffs, maybe facing elimination for a key road game after Bob struggles. What are your hopes for Spencer Knight in terms of his ceiling for the rest of the season, fantasy wise, and also like giving the Panthers another layer to their success?
Yeah, I was really big on Spencer Knight coming into the season. Yeah, obviously a great debut in the playoffs last year. I thought it was going to be, you know, kind of a 1-2 situation. And a part of me thought that if he kept the trends and the level of play that he had in the playoffs last year, I thought they were going to have to like try and trade Bobrovsky at the trade deadline, because why are you going to keep that contract if he, you know, Spencer Knight's playing so well? Obviously that didn't, you know, come to fruition. They sent Knight down. He won, I think it was 7 of 10 games recently in the AHL. They called him back up. So I like Knight going forward, not only this year, but into the future. I think that they need to have him playing at a high level, especially with the goal support, where, yes, a young goaltender is going to go through some of these ups and downs, but a part of me only like almost thinks of him as they, as we saw with Jordan Binnington for the Blues a couple seasons ago, like this young goaltender that all of a sudden comes out of nowhere and he's super, super hot. And as long as they can ride that, and the offense and the defense, most more importantly, in front of him is going to be helping sustain that success. Like that's the goalie they need to turn to. So Bobrovsky, we know he's on the back nine of his career, but I'm going to be riding with Knight going forward this year and moving forward for the next few seasons.
Well, Tom, I'm going to give you the floor here to wrap up. Tell us about NHL All In and your work at FanDuel.
Yeah, so I am partnering with you, or FanDuel is partnered with the NHL, sticking with this NHL Going All In, kind of an introductory betting piece for for the fans, where betting is obviously becoming more popular. It's getting, you know, expanded across multiple states, and this is sort of an introductory piece to get people familiar with trends and, you know, different matchups on a, you know, couple days a week basis. I do it for them the night before, record it, send it over, and they put some awesome graphics on it and get it out for those days' slate. So it'll be up today. We obviously have a 13-game slate, so we want to get some, you know, some good content up for that.
For sure. And you can find those videos at NHL. You could find Tom Vecchio at DFS_Tom. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Look forward to catching up with you in the near future again, especially during playoff time when the DFS intensity gets ratcheted up even more. But thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to come back on anytime. This was great.
Great insight from Tom Vecchio, for sure, from FanDuel. We were talking Spencer Knight. We saw since he got sent down temporarily, he might be back up soon. They might be just trying to get him some work in between starts, but a nice return for him against Buffalo in the Sam Reinhart revenge game. And he got on the board as well. But Spencer Knight, people are always thinking about the future with this guy, rightfully so. And we got a fan question, Spencer Knight or Thatcher Demko in a keeper league? This is really intriguing, because I feel like even with Vancouver's flaws, Nick, Thatcher Demko is like one of the 5 or 10 best goalies in the league, bar none, this season.
That's a really, really good question. Like, putting me on the spot right now, I'm probably with you. I'm leaning towards Demko just because we probably know what he is, and that's a top 5 goalie in this league right now. I think if the season ends right now, Demko could be in the conversation as a finalist for the Vezina. Like, he's been that important to the success of the Canucks, and we'll see if they can go on a monster run here and get in. So that's probably my answer, Pete. Although I would take nothing away from Spencer Knight, you know, realistically, my comparable is maybe what Jake Oettinger is doing right now for the Dallas Stars, right?
Right. And right, year two is going to be even better than year one. We saw Oettinger make a big impact last year, but wasn't really getting the workload that he's getting this year. And now Oettinger is a top 10 goalie as well. And Ottinger and Demko and Shesterkin, they're all really good at even strength save percentage. So that always bodes well. That's like, you should look at that over regular save percentage most of the time. And one guy on the flip side of that argument, I was looking, who I think is a big drop candidate right now, John Gibson. We always talk about him as being an elite level goalie, plays for a bad team. His even strength save percentage is really bad this year, 904, second worst among starters with 25 plus games, ahead of only Philip Grubauer. So that's not the company that you want to be in if you're rostering him in fantasy, right, Nick?
And that's why our faithful listeners listen to the podcast, because a month ago we came on these airwaves and we said, hey, you should probably look at selling John Gibson. The Ducks are trending towards being a seller at the deadline. And this is sort of what happens every season with John Gibson. Like, I'm not blaming this all on him, but the team in front of him hasn't been as good. So yeah, I certainly think he's a drop candidate. We're getting a couple questions as well. And thanks to all for sending us questions via Instagram and social media. Andre Palat, where are you on that conversation, Petey? Because I've seen him dropped in a couple of my leagues now, and I'm trending that way as well.
He's a guy that I really hesitate to drop because he brings such good category coverage with the hits and the exposure to Tampa's offense. And when he's scoring goals, he's one of the most valuable players in the league. So your tune can change on Andre Palat so quickly because he plays with Kucherov and Point. So I would trend toward not dropping Palat. But I get it. Like, when he goes cold, it's kind of like Burakovsky without, but he has the category coverage to keep him afloat. So strong team, you kind of lose faith, but then they bounce back over the course of the season. Then when it's all said and done, you know, Palat will have had a contract year where he, you know, they're either going to bring him back in Tampa or he'll get paid elsewhere. But he's an extremely valuable player. So I would not drop Andre Palat. One comparable, though, someone was asking me about Jacob Vrana. Would you drop Palat for Jacob Vrana? That I might actually consider doing, because even though Detroit's given up a ton of goals, Vrana came back, Nick, right, the other day, scored a power play goal on three shots, and he's got 12 points in 12 games since joining the Red Wings last season.
Well, firstly, can we explain what that was the other night at Little Caesars Arena? Like, to have Vrana make his season debut and lay an absolute egg like that was inexcusable. Like, it was ugly. And I know Arizona's been on a heater. I know Phil Kessel played like one shift that went home to have a kid or have a kid with his wife. But like, that was unacceptable to me on that front, because the Red Wings, we think, are trending in the right direction. And I want to talk about spoilers. But Jacob Vrana is a guy for sure. I've identified as I like him more than Palat. I think he's a really, really good fit there. And I think it was perfect the other night that Anthony Mantha and Jacob Vrana, who were both traded from each other, both coming off the same injury, mind you, scored on the same night. Makes sense of that, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, the Capitals, you know, a couple of big performances the past few nights. I know they lost to the Oilers in overtime, but they tied that game late. Seems like guys like Oshie and Mantha, Vanacek, they're starting to get their mojo back. And that's a team that's extremely dangerous when they're playing well. I feel like people have overlooked them in terms of making a deep run this year. But hey, match them up against Pittsburgh, match them up against the Rangers, match them up against the Hurricanes, who beat them in the playoffs a couple of years ago and kind of spoiled their season. You never know with the Washington Capitals if they get stable goaltending, and it's been looking better lately. I think it's just the product of all these guys starting to get healthy. So maybe the Capitals could return some value in various fantasy formats and especially betting market down the stretch.
Very dangerous. And I'm big note guy here on the podcast. I always like to jot my stuff because I always forget. And certainly I think there's some buy low appeal right now in the Washington Capitals. I just think it adds a different dynamic when you can have Anthony Mantha on your second power play unit in front of the net or with the 1T on his right side. I think that's crucial to complement the first power play unit. I think you look at the numbers the last four games, it shows this team is going upwards. 3-0-1-1, TJ Oshie 2-2, Backstrom 1-3, Mantha 1-1. John Carlson, I thought, was excellent the other night against the Edmonton Oilers. He has 7 points in the last five games. And of course, the goaltending, like Ilya Samsonov was really, really good in that aforementioned game, Vitek Vanacek. I think this is a bit of a sleeper team. I know not many people are talking about Washington in the Eastern Conference, and I think they should take note because some gamers on that roster, Petey.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that the Eastern Conference outside of the Atlantic Division is it's like up for grabs. I mean, we know the teams that are going to be playing in the mix. And it's kind of like last year when the Isles went to the conference final. It's like, it doesn't matter what your seed is. It's going to be a crapshoot. Somebody's going to get through that we're not thinking about right now. So if you're thinking about it from that standpoint, it could be the Washington Capitals. Couple other notes from games coming up. So the LA Kings, I mentioned Victor Arvidsson, lower bodies week to week. So their new lines are a little intriguing. If you're looking for a fantasy streamer, Arthur Kaliev, our boy King Arthur, that Bob dubbed him in the preseason, high shot volume. He's now top line with Anze Kopitar and Adrian Kempe. And then Andreas Athanasiou too. This guy always like goes on a heater almost every year.
Every year.
When he's healthy, he's playing line two in Arvidsson's spot with Deneau and Trevor Moore.
I'll make sure the Bouncers don't let Bob into the arty party, or Arthur Kaliev. He's not getting in. Sorry, Bobby boy. But I like those looks quite a bit. Let's look to Thursday slate. Again, it's Jack Eichel day. I can't wait to get off the air here. I'm going to take my tequila shot and go on with my day here. Pete, I am fired up for this game. Maybe look, I think Vegas has to win this game. Like, they got to get their house in order. I don't know how you lose in Philadelphia. Jack Eichel, this is important to know, has been shooting the puck a ton, Pete. He's got 30 shots on goal in the last six games. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Alex Tuck, he's been quiet. I think you look there as well. I'm all over that hockey game.
I kind of like the DFS play where everyone's flocking to Eichel, go to Tuck and Tage Thompson and just let them roll like they always do against the expectations. So maybe a little Rasmus Dahlin too. Buffalo can score in any given game. And when they're motivated, like they're going to be in this game, I mean, they're looking at the other end of the ice and they're seeing kind of like their tumultuous past year prior to the trade. You know, staring at them in the eye. So I think one of them said it, right? I think Thompson said it. They want to shut him down. They want to beat him. So, and Thompson was on one of the NHL podcasts lately, right? NHL at the Rink, Bobby.
Yes, he was. And give that a listen, please. Subscribe, like, leave a review, whatever you'd like to do, please do so.
Definitely. That's a good one for sure. And also another angle in the Maple Leafs Coyotes is Michael Bunting, right?
Yes.
Facing his former team. Yeah. So a little revenge action there, as Nick loves for sure. And then, you know, rest of the slate, definitely been looking at Noah Dobson lately for the New York Islanders. It's strange because normally in DFS, I would never say, even with Barzal or Nelson or anyone, don't roster Islander skaters unless they're really cheap. But Dobson's up to 6,000 in DraftKings. I saw today in in DFS, and he's got 12 points in his past 12 games. He's like a top 20 fantasy defenseman for the season at large. Noah Dobson, nobody's scoring on the Islanders except for this guy.
Coming out party, right? Like that's what this is. I think you look at his resume, what he did in junior, where he was drafted. I think this is natural progression. And we're finally starting to see a guy like Noah Dobson take that next step. So I really like that play tonight. I think just finishing up on the Toronto revenge angle, Nick Ritchie, I think if you want to go deep on that, he's got 5 points in five games. Auston Matthews scores every night. And I like the play on Michael Bunting. And don't forget the name Kirill Vemelka, who goalied the Leafs last time in Arizona. Yes, the Yotes beat the Leafs in Arizona. I think if you want to take a deep flyer on a goalie in DFS tonight, maybe it's Vemelka, Petey.
He's actually been one of the better rookie goaltenders this season, even though he's playing for a doormat type team. So, he's been really impressive. It's always great to see when a guy can produce some fantasy value, even against the circumstances, which in Arizona's case, definitely working against them, but says a lot about the player for sure. One other guy who I mentioned earlier, Dylan Strome, three straight multi-point games, a guy that could be traded before the deadline. So he's, getting showcased here, having that opportunity with DeBrincat and Patrick Kane, never hurt anybody, but some make the most of it more than others. And Dylan Strome is making a case to be wanted right now for sure. And you could check out actually the NHL trade deadline fantasy preview on nhl.com/fantasy. If you're looking for a name, whether it's a bigger name or under the radar, Nick, pretty much everybody's listed there with their contract situations and whether or not they're on a non-contending team. And we'll have a trade deadline preview show probably next week, right? Because we're getting about a week and a half away from the big day, March 21st.
Yeah, the big thing, and I won't know what to tweet following March 21st. I'll be run out of tweets, and I guess you can scratch the list, Rasmus Ristolainen off that list, Pete. It's an unfortunate, saddening day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's we're going to see a lot of movement. It's going to be a fun couple of days and weeks for sure. And Chicago is definitely one of those teams, and Philly is as well, that are going to be active before the deadline. Also got Heritage Classic coming up this weekend. So big week for Buffalo, right? Between the Reinhardt return and the Eichel return, and then the Heritage Classic outdoors in Canada. So anything you're feeling for that game? Probably Maple Leafs bounce back, right, after they embarrassed them the last time.
You would think. I'm always very careful when it comes to anything via Leafs, but the optics should be great for that game. It's actually about 25 minutes west of where I grew up in Oakville, Ontario, so the scenery will be fantastic. I know I was talking to producer Ben Cook off air, who is attending this game, and I told him that he's going to get some really, really good shots. I always got the producer mentality in mind, so I think it's going to be a fun one to watch, but certainly I think that's an angle to stress, is that the Leafs were embarrassed last time around. You think they would be jacked up by playing outdoors in front of their home crowd here.
Their goaltending, man, they get so much goal support, but it's kind of been like Minnesota's lately. Not much better than Minnesota's. So we'll see if the Leafs can turn it around on the back end before they really need to in the playoffs against either Tampa or Florida. But that'll be a conversation for another day. Thanks again to Tom Vecchio for hopping on. FanDuel, NHL, going all in. Check out those segments at the NHL official handle. So for Bob Bender, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you next Monday for week 21 waiver wire pickups. And thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.